Bolsa. Genesis chapter number 40. A number of verses we'll look at. Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter number 40. We'll be reading beginning at verse number 12. If you found your places, can you say amen? All right. Teenagers, we're glad you're here. Please pay attention and sit up straight. And please, no talking. I'd appreciate your help in that. We love to have you here. We're honored that you're here, but we want you here so we can help you. So I hope you'll listen. All right, let's all stand, shall we? Everyone standing, everyone looking at the Word of God, Genesis chapter number 40, and you follow along, please, in your Bibles as I begin reading at verse number 12. The Bible says, "And Joseph said unto him," this is the interpretation of it, "the three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof, the 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Look at verse 23. "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." But forgot him. I hope you'll listen. I'm not going to speak long. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to, usually on Sunday night, it's just rip it up, tear him up, let them have it night. But this isn't going to be one of those nights. So I hope you'll listen, pay attention. I don't know how long I'll speak. And I like speaking from my heart. And when I speak from my heart, I don't know how long it'll take. It may just be a brief while. It may be a long time. But whatever you do, don't look at your watches. Amen. And especially don't shake them. And that really bothers me. But we'll be here till we're done. Amen. And then we'll be done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us tonight. This is a good crowd. This is good people. These are good people. I thank you for the honor of pastoring them for these almost 4 years. And dear Lord, as circumstances take it, it's a difficult time. It's the last Sunday. And Lord, I pray that you just comfort our hearts, pastor and people. I pray that you unite us and just help us to enjoy each one other's presence now. And I pray that you comfort us from the Word of God. Help us. Give us something for our hearts tonight. I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My wife told me recently, she said, you need to go through some things in the office. And I was going through some things, and I came upon a briefcase. It was an old briefcase. It's been wrecked. It's been ruined. It's been pilgrimaged. It's not something I look into. But I went through there and opened it up, and inside there was a card. It was a card probably from, I'm thinking, almost 10 years ago from Texas when we said goodbye to those folks in Texas. And there was a card there, and I opened it up. And as I opened up the card, here's what it said. It said, after making the initial greeting, it said, "I will not forget you. I hope you will not forget me." Those are some words, aren't they? None of us wants to be forgotten in life. Life is a journey. Life is a difficult thing, and for all of us to go through, it's an adventure. And certainly, it's a sad thing if we forget people that influence our life. I don't want to forget anybody. I still remember my first grade teacher, Mrs. Wigington. How could you forget a name like that? Mrs. Wigington and Mrs. Taylor, my second grade teacher, and Mrs. Snyder. And I don't remember the fourth grade, because he was mean. And fifth grade was Mr. Van Dyke. And sixth grade, how could I forget Mrs. Sonderman, because she put me in my place. And the list goes on and on. I remember my basketball coaches, Mr. Dunlap and Mr. Sutton. I remember the preachers, my preachers that I've had, Pastor Starr and Pastor Hiles and Pastor Richard Wallace, three pastors that have played very much significance in my life. I don't want to forget them, because you see, as we go through life, life is so fast and such on a fast pace, we don't want to forget anybody that we come into contact with. They say the average person who lies in a casket, the average person has 200 people attend their funeral. If that's true, 200 people whose lives were influenced by that person that lies in state, who's gone off into eternity, and those 200 people have also touched other lives. And so you can imagine, if those 200 people, each one influences 200 people, well, the numbers get staggering. It's amazing when you start to think about it, all the influences that have influenced your life. It's not one person. It probably is thousands that have been influenced. Now, you may not know them. You may not know their name, but they have influenced your life, because they have influenced somebody else's life that has influenced your life. You, right now, are sitting there, and you are representing thousands of people that have influenced your life. Think about that. By the way, the most important one that's influenced your life is nobody in this room, or nobody that's living today on this planet Earth. The most important influence, I hope, is Jesus Christ. He's influenced my life more than any other person could imagine. Unimaginable how much influence he's had on my life. I could not be here today if it wasn't for my Savior, Jesus Christ. He's my friend. He's my confidant. He's my Lord. He's my guide. He's my comfort. And the list goes on and on. Jesus Christ is about all there is for me. But those words, "I will not forget you. I hope you will for not forget me." Now, there's truth in that statement. Here's the truth that comes through in those words. Number one, people can be influenced. I said people can be influenced. You can be influenced. I can be influenced. You can be influenced. Anybody can be influenced. Sometimes we think, nope, you're not going to change me. Well, that kind of attitude will go a long way in you not being changed. But you know what? You open up your hearts and you embrace people and you allow people to influence your lives, and it's no telling what God can do. Hey, somebody said very aptly, and I've never forgotten, everybody is my teacher. You know something that I do not know. I must probe and I must keep on going until I find what it is so I can learn from you. There's probably 5,000 people here tonight, give or take a few hundred. But everybody in here knows something I do not know. Even the little kids, even the child knows something I do not know. Wasn't it last Wednesday I asked and I said, how many people, who knows how many people are on a Major League Baseball team? Wasn't it one person that raised their hand that night? One person. And who was that person? A little child. A little child raised their hand and said 25. A little child knows 25 people are on a Major League Baseball team. You see, a child can teach us something, and everybody can learn something. The truth is, people can be influenced. Here's the second statement. Wrote this down. People want to think that they made some kind of difference in another life, that they would not be forgotten. Everybody, I think, wants to be a valuable asset in the cycle of life, to be made an influence in somebody else's life so they will not be forgotten. I hope when I die, I hope my wife won't forget me. You know, above my bed is a picture of my mom and my dad. My mom is still here. She's 70 years of age. And by the way, as I say that, I just learned just a few hours ago, Brother Domley's mother passed away, and just very suddenly diagnosed of cancer in September, and just passed away just a few days ago. And I haven't had a chance to call him. I'll probably call him in the morning. But we just don't know, do we? My mom, precious mom, is 70 years of age. Talked to her yesterday. I talked to her every week of my life. And my dad, picture of my dad above my bed, and my dad influenced my life. And but he's gone now. He's been gone in heaven. He's been in heaven now for just past 18 years. He's been in heaven. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but boy, time goes by so quickly. And my dad was a great influence. Hey, somebody is influencing your life. If you would market that, if you would be honest, you would say, I want to influence somebody's life. When I go, I don't want to just lie in a casket and say, have everybody forget me. Now, truth is, when you're gone, I hate to say it, through time, people probably will forget you. Amen. How many could call the names of their great 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 grandfather? Probably not many. You see, as the generations go, be honest with you, we're not going to be remembered that much. What is life? Life is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Boom, it's gone up in heaven. I'm so glad that my name is remembered by my Lord. And my name is remembered by my Lord and will always be remembered by my Lord. My Lord will never forget the name Keith Themister, never. And by the way, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life up in heaven right now. I believe that the throne of God is right hand of God. And God the Father knows my name. And he knows your name too. If your name's written there, you know for sure you're going to heaven. I'm glad my name will never be forgotten. But one day on earth, my name will probably be forgotten. Abraham Lincoln, everybody knows that name. He was a president, did great things. I understand that. But nobody here knows Abraham Lincoln. Now here's a story. Joseph was in prison after suffering unjustly. Potiphar's wife accused him. You remember the story. As he's in prison, there is two comrades in prison, a chief butler and a chief baker. The chief butler has a dream, and Joseph has been known to be an interpreter of her dreams. By the way, in the Old Testament, God many times spoke through dreams. Now listen, God, I don't believe, has to speak through dreams anymore because we have this book. So I say, oh, God spoke to me. I'm not one of these spooky Christians, but I have to be honest with you. God speaks to people. He's chosen to speak to people in this day through his word. Amen. But the chief butler there, he has a dream. And he sees a vine, and he sees three branches, and those branches bud, and they cast forth grapes. And that butler sees himself taking those grapes, and he gets those grapes, and he compresses those grapes. He's holding Pharaoh's cup, and he compresses those grapes into Pharaoh's cup, and he has it in his hand. Then in the dream, he tells Joseph, he says, I see myself handing that cup, Pharaoh's cup, back to him. He says, Joseph, what does this mean? He says, well, in 3 days, he says, the kingdom will be restored. Your place of duty will be restored to you. And you will take that cup and hand it over to Pharaoh, and he will restore you to the position you had in 3 days. That's wonderful news. Boy, the butler gets all excited. And then Joseph says this. He says, now I want you to do something. Because I'm telling you this dream and letting you know what's going to happen, I'm giving you good words. Would you do me one favor? Would you remember me when you go before Pharaoh? Would you remember me and not let him forget that I am where I am in this prison? Don't let him forget where I am. Would you do that? Oh, yes, I'll do that. Of course, there's another dream. There's a dream of the baker, and the baker's going to be hung in 3 days, and he is hung. But the butler goes to Pharaoh, and sure enough, he passes that, takes that cup, hands it to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh restores him to his place of duty as a butler, chief butler, and yet he forgets to make mention of Joseph. I don't know about you, but that's sad. Here's why it's sad. Because Joseph helped him. And the one thing he asked was not for money. He didn't ask for fame or fortune or anything. There's only one thing he asked for. He said, hey, will you make sure that when you go before Pharaoh, would you make sure that you go and ask him for help so that I can be released? Now, here's the funny thing. Sometimes we think, oh, yep, see, I don't know if there's a God in heaven. Well, You know what? I think there is a God in heaven. I think definitely there's a God in heaven. Because if Joseph wasn't where he was at that time and didn't remain there, many people down, as you read through the book of Genesis, wouldn't have been affected in latter day. He probably wouldn't have been put in his position of authority. He was second in command. But he happened to be where he was, and God wanted him right there. Sometimes we look at circumstances and say, I can't believe this is happening to me. Well, just hold on. Doesn't everything work together for good to them that love God, who are, what's that next word? Called. Are you called? Sometimes we forget about that word. Yeah, it works for good to them who love God. Yeah, and those who are called. Are you called? Joseph was called. And everything in his life happened for a reason. And of course, we know the story. But how sad that Pharaoh didn't remember him because somebody forgot him. We forget oftentimes those who help us most. Can I just say tonight that I don't want to forget you. I don't want to forget any one of you tonight. I don't want to forget those of you that wrote notes of encouragement to me. I don't want to forget the nice cards and the birthday cards and maybe a card that was left in my office, a note of encouragement. I don't want to forget that, and I don't forget it. By the way, you wrote me a note, I have it. You wrote me a card, I have it. I have a pile, I have a box that I put it in. I have all my notes of encouragement. Why? Because there'll be times in my life that I'll get discouraged, and I found out one way that I can go get encouragement. I can get encouragement in the Lord, but sometimes I just like to read encouraging notes. Are you that way? And so I go to that box, and I pull out those cards, and I start looking at those cards of encouragement, and it just gives me a breath of fresh air. And I start thinking, you know what, everything's okay. The devil, I can just look at the devil and say, you know what, devil, you're trying to get me discouraged. But look at this. Look at all these notes of encouragement here. You can't get me discouraged through one act, through one person, what one person says. I've got all these cards that are trying to encourage me. Thank God there's people that want to encourage other people. Let me ask you something. Are you an encourager? If somebody went to you and said, hey, that person is an encourager, would they think of you? I want to be known as an encourager. I want to be one that writes letters, writes cards. I imagine probably most people, if you've been here any length of time, I've written you a note sometime or another. I want to encourage you. I want to remember those who wrote notes of encouragement. Secondly, I want to remember those who showed their love for their Savior by devoting their time, their talent, and their treasure. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know who gives in this church. But I know there are givers. And I say to you, thank you. Thank you. This church could not go on if you did not give. By the way, teenagers, please pay attention. Jonathan, sit up straight. Sit up. This church could not go on if people did not give, people did not tithe. Somebody's got to tithe. When they say 2.5% of all people tithe nowadays, I don't think that percentage is evident in this church. Somebody's tithing. May I say thank you for obeying your Lord? Thank you when it hurts to go to your wallet and you look at your wallet and say, man, it's going to be tight this month. May I say thank you? May I say thank you for putting Jesus first? Amen. Thank you for putting him first so the souls of people can get saved. I look at some people that are riding our buses. They're here tonight. They were saved because you gave. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. There's people that are here tonight that were reached so I could go out and other people go out, knock on their door, and tell them the wonderful news that Jesus says, thank you for giving from the bottom of my heart. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're seated. But I do know this. I want to just remember you and thank you and take your name to the throne of God and just remember you and tell the Lord to bless that person and continue to bless them financially. Thank you for those that devoted your time. Thank you for those that came, and maybe nobody knows it, but you came and you took a vacuum cleaner and you vacuumed these aisles right here. Thank you for those that took time and got the envelopes, put them out in the chairs so other people could give and have something to put their money in. Thank you for those that did the unnoticeable. Thank you for the ones that cleaned the toilets, amen. Thank you for the ones that work the nursery. Thank you for the ones that run the buses. Thank you for the ones that teach the Sunday school classes and spend hours preparing for the lesson. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that. I want to remember you. I don't want to forget you. Thank you for those that used your talent. Thank you for Miss Ruth for all that she does all the time. Sometimes we forget her, don't we? She's the forgotten warrior, I think. But Miss Ruth, God doesn't forget. He knows. It takes work to do. Boy, she's the real preacher out here. And I don't know how she does it. You think I go crazy. You ever look at her sometimes? I mean, she is the preacher of this church. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Ruth, for all you do for those of our deaf that come and for some that have been saved in the ministry here. Thank you. Thank you for those that use your talent. Thank you for those of you that come up and sing. Not many of you, but thank you for those of you that do. Thank you for doing that. Then thirdly, I want to thank you for those of you, I don't know where you are, but thank you for those of you that stood by the preacher when maybe others didn't. Thank you to those of you that heard criticism, but kind of put it down beside and said, I'm not going to believe it. Thank you for that. Thank you for some of you that decided to go to the preacher and ask the preacher and find out if what they heard was true. Thank you for doing that, going the extra mile to make sure that it was right. Thank you. There's always criticism going around the church. There's always gossip. But you know what? You don't have to believe everything you hear. Amen. And thank you for those of you that the first thing when you did hear something, you said, I'm not going to believe it until I make sure that it is what it is. Thank you for that. Thank you for those who showed up on soul winning time. What an encouragement you are. Here lately on Saturday, there's been nobody coming. Brother Ron goes with me through the week. What a blessing that is. We win souls together. But for many times in early years that I was here, we did have people come out on Saturday. Bus workers are going soul winning every Saturday, visiting. Thank you for that. Thank you for those of you that took a track. And maybe you didn't give the gospel verbally, but you did give the gospel through the printed page. Thank you for that. By the way, I absolutely think it's better to give a verbal explanation of the scriptures than the printed page. Because you'll notice in the scriptures, the Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't understand what he read, and he had to have somebody explain what he read. I always think it's better to hear verbally the plan of salvation, but thank you for those of you that took the gospel through the printed page. Then there's those of you that encourage me while I preach. How do you mean, preacher? Well, somebody told me in my early days as being a preacher, they said this. Give me this microphone, Sean. Hello? That's good. Somebody told me during the early days of preaching, they said, you know what? They said, I don't see how anybody could ever go to sleep during your preaching. But you know what? Sometimes people do. And they do very well. I think sometimes I put them to sleep. But thank you for those of you that stayed awake. Thank you for those of you that I looked out in the crowd and you had a smile on your face. I always knew where to look if I was preaching a tough subject or preaching hard against sin or something. I always knew where to look where I could get a smile. Maybe not the best smile at the time, but I knew they were behind me and they were saying, yeah, preacher, let us have it. Thank you for those of you that were that kind. Thank you for those of you that gave an amen. Now, this church isn't known for amens. Now you get it. You need to practice that for your next preacher. I'm telling you, you would encourage him. You have no idea, unless you've been a preacher up here, how lonely it gets sometimes when you start preaching the Word of God and you know you're stepping on some toes and nobody wants to say amen. And amen means I agree with you. And when it goes silent in here, that's pretty telling. It means I don't know if I agree with that preacher. And that's hard for a preacher to keep on going.
No preacher wants to step on people's toes, but boy, when there's not one person for them, that makes it awful difficult. Sometimes amens come at the most inopportune times. And we've had some of those, haven't we? But thank God for those that aren't afraid to say amen. I mean, just let it, go home tonight and start practicing for the next preacher. Now, Brother Briggs, I don't know him that well, but I know he's very soft-spoken. And very soft-spoken guys would do well to have amens every once in a while. You go home, some of you fellas, you go home, get in front of a mirror. When I first started preaching, I got in front of a mirror and I started looking at my face. I wanted to know what people were looking at when I preached. And it is a very scary thing, let me tell you. But you know what? You may not be, that's not one of those inopportune times. That's my deacon too. But you go home, you get in front of that mirror if you have to, and you look at that mirror and just look at yourself saying amen. Say amen. That's good. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. We need some ameners in New England. I've heard preachers say, well, and New England is just not an amening place. Why not? Maybe so. But you know what? That could change. There's nothing wrong with saying amen. But thank you, those of you that encouraged me while I preached, with a smile or an amen. Or you even laughed when I tried to get a joke to get your attention, and you laughed when I blew it or forgot the punchline. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for those of you that helped secretarial work. And there's been a number of ladies that have done that. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for pitching in and helping. You haven't asked for any money. You haven't asked for any recognition. You've just come in and you've just done your job and you've tried to be a blessing, and you are a blessing as a preacher. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for the teenagers. Thank you for each one of you that comes. Maybe it's not the most fun thing to come to church. It doesn't have to be fun to do amen. You can do right. It's not the fun thing that you do. It's the right thing you do. And I know this may not be fun, although I enjoy church. I'd rather be here right now than any place in the world. I mean that. But it may not be fun to teenagers, but it's the right thing. And if we teach our teenagers, you do what's right, not what's fun, we'd raise a generation of people, young people, that turn this world upside down. We've got too much fun in this world. Life's not about fun. Life's about doing right. Life's about following the will of God for your life. That's what life's about. Life's too short. When we get to heaven, we'll have fun. There's streets of gold up there. Did you hear what I said? Streets of gold. You can't get much more fun than that. Mansions. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And there's mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hey, there may be mansions down here, but I'd much rather be up there beholding a mansion that Jesus built. Isn't Jesus the master builder? Amen. I'd much rather be up in heaven beholding the mansion that he built than any man builds a mansion down here, I guarantee you. Now, to me, that's fun. To be and live in a mansion that was built by my Savior, you can't get much more fun of that. And I think if they have TV down here, they must have something up there. I happen to think we're going to spend a lot of time looking back on history and seeing things the way they really were. I mean, we got all eternity, amen. Sometimes preachers will try to get us all stirred up. I've heard preachers say that at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be double screens on each side of the throne of God. And God's going to turn a switch. When he turns that switch on, all your sins are going to be on those screens for everybody to see. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? But thank God, my Bible says we're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. My Bible says my sins will God no more remember. As far as the east is from the west, God casteth them away in the sea of forgetfulness. My God already judged my sin on the cross of Calvary. He doesn't have to judge my sin anymore. It's been judged once, and it'll never be judged again. Amen. Nobody's going to look at my sins. I'll be judged for my service. That's what I'll be judged for. Thank you very much. And you will too. And aren't you thankful for that? Because if we were really able to see our sins on double screens wouldn't do justice to our sins. We'd have to have sin screens lined up from California all the way over to, well, 10 minutes away. We'd have to have that many screens to just behold all the sins that we commit each and every day. Amen. But aren't you glad we won't do that? Thank you to the teenagers. By the way, you love Brother Ron. Now, Brother Ron's not going to like me saying this, but you love Brother Ron. He loves you kids. Look at me. You're here tonight. He picked you up. He didn't have to. He picked every one of you up. I don't know. I don't know if you do it, but I don't know if you asked him to give him any gas money. That means he paid for that. Not many people will do that. That's because he loves you. And you love him back. You say, well, how can I love him? For starters, he wants you to be here when the doors are open. He wants you to be right in those seats, listening to the preaching. That's why he picks you up. He didn't pick you up tonight so you could eat. You thought you were here so you could eat. We're not dumb. Say, oh, preacher, I'm here for you. Oh, save it. You're here because of the food. Amen. But yeah, there's one honest. First time all years, Sean's been honest. I'm so thankful for that. You teenagers, you love Brother Ron. You love this church. You build your life around this church. Your parents won't tell you that, but listen, teenagers, you build your life around this church. You'll stay out of trouble. You listen to what I'm saying. If you listen to what I'm saying, I'll keep you away from a lot of trouble. You stay in this church, you come Sunday morning, and if he'll pick you up Sunday night, you come Sunday night. You just do it. You can if you want. You say, well, my mom won't let me. Oh, hogwash. Any mom would love to get rid of you for a Sunday night. She'd love it. You mean you're going to go every Sunday night? Woo! Hey, honey, it's another date night. Isn't that wonderful? She'd love it. You come to church. And I want to thank those of you that are so faithful. As I look up out in the crowd and I look at your spot and I know where you sit, I know you'll be there. I know you'll be there. I remember, I think it was the second year I was here on a January. It was the second winter I was here, 2005. We had a big snowstorm. And I remember making this statement, now folks, in January, I said, now folks, now if it snows, I don't care how much it snows, we will not shut the doors of this church. And boy, I didn't know. When I did my candidating here, they told me it snows 5 inches. That's what they told me. Now, I didn't know. I thought that was for a year. I'm not lying. I thought 5 inches, they meant a year. I said, I can handle that. I thought it was odd. I thought that's awful odd. I thought it snowed a lot. But 5 inches. And I didn't know they meant usual snowstorm about 5 inches. I think that, and snowstorms about 10 times a year. But I remember making that statement 2 weeks later on a Saturday night. It snowed. Started snowing, and it snowed. And it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed. 38 inches of snow. And I was waiting for the people. I got here. I was here. I'm not kidding. I was here. And you say, how'd you do that? Well, duh, think about it. I'm right over there. And at that time, one of our men was parked out there. We were trying to help him, and he came, and he was shoveling. But I remember one of our men, he's not here anymore, he called me up and said, preacher, I've been shoveling snow all night long. I've been trying to get there. I've been shoveling snow. He was up all night long. And he said, I'm trying to get there. And I said, are you an idiot? And I said, well, you said you're not. I said, I'm not. But I said, it's 38 inches of snow. I said, I'm walking from my house over to the church, and it's chest deep. Nobody can get in the parking lot. Go back to bed. Are you sure, preacher? Go back to bed. I felt so bad that they were out. I'm not kidding. They were out all night shoveling snow so they could get here. I'm thankful for that kind of person. That kind of person doesn't grow on trees. That kind of person is what I talked about Sunday this morning. He'll go with you. He'll go with you. Thank God for those people. Amen. But I'm thankful as I look out and I say, you know what? So-and-so will be here. So-and-so will be here. Yep. So-and-so will be here. I can count on them. So-and-so will be here. They said they'd be here. I believe they'll be here. Thank God for faithful people. A faithful man who can find, not many, But thank you for those of you that are just here. You're here when the preacher bombs. You're here when the preacher really bombs. And you're here when the preacher lays a dud. You don't care. You're just here. Now, you may go to sleep when you're here, but you're here. And that's the kind of people that build churches. Amen. Amen. I don't want to forget you. Forgiving is unforgivable. I'll never forget you. Amen. I got your names on my prayer list. I'll continue to pray for you, and I won't forget you. But on the flip side of this coin, I hope you won't forget me. I hope you won't. By the way, I'm not far. I'll check up on you. I imagine I'll have some conferences up there and the opportunity for you to go up there. And I hope you'll come. Amen. I hope you'll come. But I still want to reach people. I'm 50 years old. They say when a preacher reaches 50, that's when he starts slacking off. Not me. I don't know how much time I've got left. Honestly, I've looked for the Lord to come for a long time, and he hadn't come. I don't know when he's coming. I'm still looking up. Don't get me wrong. I'm still looking up. But I'm starting to look. The light's getting a little dimmer as I start look down the tunnel of time. I told God when I got in the ministry and started preaching, I said, God, give me 30 years. 30 years as a preacher. I'm 9 years in. I've got 21, at least 21. That'll bring me into my 70s. And I said, Lord, I want to stay at one place 20 to 25 years. I don't have much. I thought this was it. I'm being flat out honest. My Lord and I have talked about this numerous times. I thought this was it. But sometimes God does things that you're not ready for. And he just comes and he knocks and he kind of changes direction. I don't know what's going to happen up there. To be honest with you, I have no idea. To be honest with you, I've confided in some people. I'm scared to death. I could be here. There's not many problems here. In fact, there's not any problem here. There's money in the bank, facilities, workers, bus workers, people being reached. I don't have any problems here. I'm going to somewhere. I've got problems. And I'm scared to death. And I hate to do this. I don't want you to think, look, we're all in this together. I may be at a different place, but we're all in this together. And I need you to pray for me. I honestly am begging you to pray for me. But I hope you'll remember me when I've preached. I hope you'll remember a preacher that's preached from his heart and not somebody that's tried to tickle your ears. I hope you'll remember a preacher that's been up here and at times he's sweated and he's slobbered and he's thrown fits, but he's thrown fits and he's slobbered and he's sweated because he loves you. Because he tries to help you. And he tries to tell you the truth. And he tries to warn you. I hope you'll remember me from my preaching. I hope you'll remember me from my teaching. On Wednesday night, I've tried to teach you the Bible. I've taught you on soul winning. I've taught you on the church. Taught you a little bit on Proverbs. I've taught you on money. I've taught you on principles. And for 4 years on Wednesday nights, I've just tried to take the Bible verse by verse and teach you what the Bible says on different subjects in the Bible. And I know you're not going to remember it all. I know that. I don't remember everything that's preached to me. But you know what? I hope you'll remember perhaps the way it was delivered and the honesty and the urging and the believing that what I was saying was true. I hope you'll take that away. I hope you'll remember me for soul winning. There's people here tonight that I've knocked on your door. And you're here tonight because I knocked on your door. Somebody from the church knocked on your door. I hope you'll remember. And by the way, you need another preacher that knocks on doors. And it might do good to get somebody a little younger, to be honest with you. But get somebody that loves people. Get somebody that goes soul winning. I hope you'll remember me for my faithfulness. I think you will. When I missed those 2 weeks, I think you were shocked. I think some of you said, our preacher's never gone. Some of you were wondering in the back of your mind, weren't you? Our preacher's never gone. Some of you started counting the Sundays that I had already missed. And you've heard me say from the pulpit, I only miss one Sunday a year. And you started thinking when I said, I'm taking a vacation, some of you started thinking, he already missed one Sunday this year. What's going on? Some of you know your preacher pretty well. I'm not making that statement anymore. Thank you very much. I've learned. But you know what? I hope you'll remember me for my faithfulness. Every Wednesday I've been here. Every Sunday I've been here. I think I've missed one Sunday aside from a little vacation, and that was when my wife fell through a hole. And how will we ever forget that? And fell through a hole, and God paid every penny of it and more. God was so gracious. But you know what? I hope you'll remember me for my faithfulness. I hope you'll remember me perhaps a little bit through going through adversity. Some of you don't know this, but when I came here, after 2 weeks of being here, after paying my move and everything, about the first month, I'd say the first month to 6 weeks, there was $6,000 in the bank. You talking about putting it really close, it was close. Now look, the preacher's coming in, he's in good stead. He's got a lot of money in the bank, but that sometimes is a dangerous thing. And I remember getting the deacons together and saying, look, we got to do something. We got to have more avenues besides just knocking on doors. We got to advertise. And boy, we advertised. We put ourselves on TV. We took a little bit of money that we had, and we made a commercial, and the people gave a little extra, and we put our advertising on TV. And tonight, two families are here from that advertising. Carol Santiago and the LaRosa family saw our ad on TV and walked through the doors. And Michelle ended up getting saved, and Joe LaRosa, Joe LaRosa started coming to church, being faithful, and Carol Santiago got saved, started coming. All that through advertising. God's so good. Always, all the time. But I hope you remember me through maybe adversity. And some of the people I haven't given up on aren't here tonight. But I never gave up on them. Never. And you're here tonight, and I thank you for being here tonight. I hope you'll remember me. I wrote this down, and I think maybe there's three types of people that are in the room tonight. The first people, I think, are the people that are glad that I'm leaving. Now, let me say that. I don't think anybody here is that way. I think there could have been, but I don't think anybody is that way here. So I'm going to go over that. There may be people here tonight that are mad. In your heart of hearts, you're mad at your preacher for leaving. You don't understand. To those of you that are mad, may you understand something. I don't make quick decisions. I pray about it and I seek God's will. And God's will is the only thing that I'm interested in doing, just God's will. And so I hope you want the first thing. And I told when I resigned 4 weeks ago, I said, don't get mad, because I know that's the first thing that happens. And there's people that should be here tonight that aren't, because I think they got mad and they didn't understand. And you have to understand, this isn't like a secular thing. Did you know Brother Jack Hiles, who built the biggest church in modern day history, he changed pulpits seven different times. I honestly believe God is moving me, or I wouldn't go. I did not look for this, but God brought it to me. Then there's people that are glad, there's people who are mad, and then there's people that are sad. And to you people, you're the ones I think I've influenced. You're the ones that I look at tonight, and I reach out to you and I say, I love you. I love you with all my heart. And your sadness is sadness because you believe this preacher has helped you in your heart of hearts. You believe that. And you look at tonight and you look at it with sadness. You're not mad. You're not glad, but you are sad. And you're the people that I hurt for because I believe I've helped you. And I've been an influence in your life. And you are the folks that I will not forget. I'm not going to forget you. How could I forget you? I won't forget you. There'll be others that hopefully I'll influence through the years ahead. But I will never forget those people that I influence. And I thank you from all the bottom of my heart for allowing me to influence you. I've tried to teach you the Bible. I've tried to be truthful. I've tried to just tell you verse by verse, precept upon precept, line upon line, what the Bible says so it can help you. And I say this, As I go, somebody will come. And when somebody comes, you'll get a man of God. And they'll be a little different from me. And it's been a recurring theme because I want to drive it in your heart. But they'll be somebody different, but they'll love you. I have no doubt that God will not send somebody to love you. And they'll love you perhaps more than I could love you. And they'll teach you the Bible. They'll pray with you. They'll counsel you. They'll give you their heart. And if they give you their heart, what more could you ask for? You'll get that kind of person. I believe it with all my heart. So tonight, I'm saying, as Joseph told that butler, he said, "Don't forget me." And I'm saying to you tonight, don't forget me, because I won't forget you. Let's not forget one another. And I know I'm not going to be your pastor as of Wednesday night. I won't be your pastor. But let me say, I don't want to interfere in your future pastor. But you know what? I don't mind you. Give me a call until maybe you get a future pastor. Once you get a pastor, I think maybe we can maybe correspond. But to be honest with you, this happened in Tennessee when they got a pastor. I kind of said, "You've got a pastor. I'll be your friend, but I don't think that I can really be your pastor. You need to go to your pastor for advice." And so I'll be your friend, but I'm very careful not to infringe upon that relationship, that special relationship between pastor and people. That's a very special relationship, and I dare not cross over the line on that. But I want you to know I'm always your friend. I'll always be your friend, and I'll help you if I can. And if I can't help you, or if I say, "Well, I can't help, I think you need to see your pastor," I'll tell you. But I want you to know that I love you. And I won't forget you. Never, ever. And what makes heaven so good is that there's no change in heaven. We'll have bodies and our body won't change. Jesus won't change. Our family won't change. Nothing changes. Down here on earth, it's constant change. Have you realized that yet? Have you realized life is about change? We don't like it, but it is part of life. And so we go on tonight. You go on to a new adventure, and I go on to a new adventure. You pray for me, and I pray for you. I won't forget you, and I hope you won't forget me. Let's pray together. Father, I'm done. And I pray that you bless these precious folks for 4 years. Some of them been here the entire time. And Lord, we've laughed together at occasions. And I think on occasions we've cried together. And we've spent time in your word. We've joked together. We've fellowshiped together. We've done outings together. It's been a special relationship and a special bond and a special time. And I pray that you bless those folks tonight. Those folks that think of their pastor as not only a pastor, but a friend and somebody that's influenced their life. I pray that you just be close to them tonight. I love them with all my heart. And I thank you for actually being able to influence them and how they've influenced my life. They've shown me patience. They've taught me numerous things. Lord, I pray that you bless each of us tonight. Bless pastor and people. Thank you for them. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't know how to give an invitation after this, to be honest with you.